Just whisper to me when it's on.
Well, it's on.
It's on.
It's on.
We're on.
Yeah, you're good.
Game on.
Game on.
All right. You're welcome on. Welcome to Comic Culture. We're on, and we're talking. Maybe we should start over again, because I wasn't really ready.
You know? No, it's fine. Just go.
It's fine. Just go. Keep going. Okay, welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that champions all things comics.
Comic culture type stuff.
Comic culture stuff. I'm Walt.
I'm Chris.
And we're going to be here for the next little while chit-chatting with you about the ludicrous, loony, crazy,
hot
collectible market for collectibles. Yeah. It is early 2021, and I have no idea what's going on.
You know what's funny is that I've meant to talk to you about this before, but I was actually on the news the other night, how the collectible market is exploding.
Right.
This is on CTV National News. They did they did a segment on it.
Right.
On how the collectible...
Fake news!
Fake news! Collectible market is exploding right now.
Wow. So it is... Yeah, it's reaching just like... I don't want to say uncomfortable levels. You know what I will say?
What's that?
Uncomfortable levels to those...
I don't want to say uncomfortable levels, but it's uncomfortable levels.
Uncomfortable levels, Chris, to those within the industry.
I totally agree with that.
Because to those within the industry, we're kind of used to certain... how you put blinders on like a horse and you look left to right, you know, your worldview is skewed by low price and high price, but because you've been in it forever,
yep.
You have these expectations of growth and expectations of what a hot book can do and expectations of how quickly a unwanted book can drop, but
yep.
Also expectations of how quickly a desired book can rise.
Absolutely, yeah.
This market obliterates those boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And goes past the comfort level of a lot of us old curmudgeons in the industry.
Yep, right? Yep, for sure.
So,
I agree.
I wanted to talk to you about this. So I talked to somebody about this the other day, and it was like this. It goes like this.
How's it go?
Okay, it goes like this. We're talking about toys. We're talking about AFA graded toys.
Right.
We're talking about how... that grading service is the grading service that really hasn't kind of caught on in the marketplace yet.
Right.
In terms of, you know, graded cards
yep.
and graded comics,
yep.
they can be million-dollar commodities all day long.
Yep.
Hundreds of them now.
Probably, yep, yep.
You know, literally.
Yep.
Right? Whereas graded toys still hasn't kind of busted out of that initial price kind of range.
No, not yet.
So... And we were talking about it, and we were talking about how, for what comics had to go through. So when comic collecting was a small, insular group of collectors.
Right.
And there's stuff written about it, like it would have been around the New York City area
yep.
initially in the 50s and 60s and stuff. And I remember the same principle happening around Magic the Gathering
yeah.
in the early 90s
yep.
at the shops and
yep.
stuff like that. What happens is... when the community that's arises around that commodity or that collectible,
yep.
when the items are collected within that community, the community kind of unconsciously polices the price.
Right. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they police the price, and some guy... I remember 25 years ago or some 20 years... No, right when CGC came out. 20 years ago or something, where some guy got a PEP 22.
Right, first Archie.
First Archie, and it was a 6.0, and he wanted like $100,000.
Right.
And which is worth way more now.
Oh, yeah.
But before then, because Archie really wasn't traded in the same circles as Spider-Man and Batman.
Right,
like
right.
That. It was kind of an insular kind of
yep.
collectible thing.
Yep.
And all the old guys... we're on this guy.
Sure.
Like, what a con artist.
What yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yep. You know, like, I'm out. I'm, you know, if you're going to, like, you're a cheat, you're a this, you're a that. Because those guys traded amongst themselves.
Right.
Right? So, my question to you is, are we nervous about this? Has comics left the larger comic community into the general population? And is this sustainable? Or... are you and I right to kind of be weary of this bubble?
Well, okay.
Now, have we left the insular group, even though it's bigger than the initial insular
group? I think we've left, but I think there's... I think it's splintered now.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you can call it just one big group anymore, because there are people that collect just the old books for the sake of collecting and investing.
Right.
There's people that collect...
But they've now been priced out of the market, Chris.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's a separate group.
Right.
Like, I will never own, unless I win the lottery, I will never own an AF-15.
Right.
I will never own a Detective 27.
Right.
It's so far out of my league. It's not even... Like, not even a chance.
Right.
But, you know, a not so great X-Men 1 is still within my grasp.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
So there are still books that are within my grasp that I'm not in that higher end bubble, but I'm still part of that collecting bubble that I still like. There's a mid grade bubble or a lower end bubble.
But even that's changing quickly.
But that's changing too.
Even that, I read somewhere recently that a 1.5 X-Men 1 got close to 7,500 US or something.
Yeah,
like that.
that's ridiculous. Crazy, yeah.
Something that a year ago was selling for 3,100 or
right,
something like that.
Right.
Yeah, like things are doubling.
So,
right?
So based on that, I think that, you know, I think for something like that, because I'm already in,
uh-huh,
I could probably maintain some being in that market.
Right.
But if I was just starting out, there's no way.
Yeah.
Because I can buy and sell. Like, I've got books already that I could sell and
right,
get more
right,
money to buy other books, uh-huh, and that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
But there's no way I could enter the market at that price.
Right.
So, but there are variant books. There are other books that people can buy that are lower end, that uh-huh, are lower keys,
yeah,
that people can buy that still enter the market. So mm-hmm, that, I don't think that bubble has... first yet.
I don't think so either. I think you're right. I think what's happening is people are... I've read a few things on these news kind of things, business news type things,
yeah,
where people are looking for... they don't want money. They want commodities.
Yeah.
They want collectibles. They want... Money is so cheap and money is kind of worthless because you can't make nothing with money. And
it's true.
They're printing too much money and then people are hedging away from money. And so they're looking for tangible things.
Yep.
And they're looking for collectible things.
Well, and the thing is too, right... If you can get into something like, say, like collecting and trading, uh-huh, I don't mean collecting and hoarding. I mean like investing and buying and selling and buying and selling. If you can somehow create an extra income on that, a lot of people, that's very desirable for people,
right,
especially because it's something they can do, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, midnight, whatever, on weekends.
Like day trading on the stock market.
Right.
So
you can have a little business of your own going at the same time. Now, to answer your question as to whether or not if toys are there, toys aren't there yet.
Right.
Toys aren't in that same realm.
Right. But I told the guy when we talked about that, though, that toys will be. My point was toys are now still traded amongst the toy collectors.
Right.
But once they stop trading, no, they'll continue to be traded amongst the toy collectors.
Yep.
But once they start trading amongst commodity collectible participants, like it's happening right now in general, like commerce
yep,
right now, and then you're going to see them bust through the prices that our toy collectors will be priced out of that market.
Well, and I think your point to AFA,
uh-huh,
I mean, I think one of the big turning points for both the sports card market and
comics
was grading.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It provided the collector, a third party, to have an impartial judge on what that book is worth.
Yeah.
Or not really what it's worth, but what the value, what the grade of it is, so that they can, you know, attribute a value to it.
I think the expectations, and I think, Chris, I think you and I have touched on this. I guarantee you and I have touched on this before. Each generation, based on what they grew up with and what was plentiful for them, they see the next generation as being, oh, poor them, they'll never have what we had.
Right.
So, but I don't like. So I came up, you know, grabbing my stuff in the late 70s when I just started as a kid.
Yeah.
And you in the early 80s.
Yep.
You know. So did you ever miss the fact that you did not have any big logo detectives?
No.
Or big logo actions? No. Or even, hey, heaven forbid, pre-hero detectives?
No.
It's, you know what, but I remember going to those early cons where those old dealers that still had bins full of detectives from the 1940s.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Now to them, the young generation, they're lucky to have one of those detectives.
100%.
And when I did have one of those detectives, I was happy.
Sure.
Like, I didn't think, oh, man, like, I need the whole run.
No, well, of course not.
That's not
train good. Coming through.
Train coming through. So, the same thing now. Because I was going to say, these people participating and jumping in right now, they're never going to have the runs that we had. They're never going to have, you know, the complete, you know, Spidey 50 to 129 run or something like that. Never mind 1 to 129. Let's say 50, you know, from the Kingpin to the Punisher.
Right.
They can't complete that run.
No.
But then you put yourself in their shoes when you were thinking, why do they have to complete that run? They have no interest to complete that run. They want the first Morbius.
Right.
They want the Death Issues. Maybe the first Man-Wolf. And the first Punisher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They don't need everything.
They don't need everything.
They don't need the first Doc Ock.
I was going to say they can't have everything. But I don't know if they want everything.
Well, I mean, I would have liked to have had everything,
right.
But if I can't have it, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so then they go, you know, they gravitate towards all the hot stuff that's hot today.
Well, what's
and
affordable?
All the new stuff and kind of all the, what's important to them, right? The Miles Morales stuff or whatever, you know, we've touched on that again multiple times, but it's just, I guess what I'm trying to get
What are you trying to say?
I guess what I'm trying to say, I think right now is this hot market is displacing our generation of collectors. Because our generation of collectors don't want to participate in these prices.
But the thing is...
new people coming in are tolerating these prices and are willing to pay these prices. You're not willing to pay $10,000 US for a 1.0 X-Men 1.
No.
But a young guy coming in might...
Yes, absolutely.
That's the only access, right?
Well, but that's also, and we've talked about this before. That's also because we knew when the it's like we saw those books when they were, you know, 20 years ago when they were, you know, $100,
right?
You know,
that's my point. Yeah.
It's hard for my brain to wrap around the fact that that book is now $10,000,
and you can't get past it.
Yeah,
and as a group, we can't get past it. Now, sure, there may be a few sharks and hawks out there that are doing it for a quick flip or something like that.
Yeah,
but generally, as a collecting community, I think we're being excluded from this sharp market rise. If anything, we're exploiting the sharp market rise, thinking that these are fools, and we're getting rid of our stuff.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? So that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Our generation stuff,
you want to give me how much for that? Yeah.
For what? Star Wars 42? Thing that it was $5 forever?
You know what?
Now you're giving me $500?
That's the, and Star Wars is a great example.
Right.
Star Wars comics.
Yes.
Because Star Wars comics, even a year ago, we're not commanding the kind of prices that they are today.
Yeah.
And I think...
Chris, sorry to cut you off, just before I forget. Not a year ago, I wrote in a recent column on... what's that thing I write? Time to Collect?
Yeah.
On Comic Book Daily?
Yeah.
So I wrote how a couple months ago, from that warehouse find I had...
Yes.
I have to send a lot down to CGC.
Okay.
And so I look on GP Analysis... and to see what's gradable.
Right.
So then I go, okay, this issue, then I was into the Star Wars.
Right.
So, and I think I'm going to use, say, number 6 as an example. Number 40 as well.
Okay.
Number 40 was a good example. So I had a whole bunch of number 40s, a whole stack.
Nice.
And so I quickly looked and I saw that 9.6 has got $72.
Okay.
But 9.8's got like 160 or something.
Nice.
So I go, okay, probably not worth pressing, grading, shipping, and shipping back for a 9.6 because I might only be $10 ahead.
Right.
And I can get $10 for it raw.
Right.
So why do it?
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah.
So I pre-screened those at 9.8.
Nice.
And this was like in December.
Okay, yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So I was filling up the store showcase last weekend.
Right.
And so, and I quickly go on eBay, and I go, okay, can I put $10 on this?
Yeah,
if they're selling for $1.99, I won't put $10 on it. But if they're selling for like $6.99 US
or
$11.25 US, I'll put $10 on
it. Yeah,
right? So I look at Star Wars number 40, and you know how when you go to sold items, it lists you all the sold items.
Right.
And then I saw a CGC 9.6 recently sold, $225.
Oh my goodness, you're kidding.
I go, this is 2.5 months ago.
Yeah.
They used to be $75.
Now
9.6, I have to go back and do a 9.6 comb through now.
Oh, jeez.
You follow me?
Yeah.
It's so crazy that I just assumed that pile would have been relegated to selling
to the $10 bin, yeah.
To the $10 bin. Now apparently, and who knows when it's going to stop. Like then I'm going to go, right now I'm going to go, yeah, but I, you know what, the 9.4s I'll leave because they're only getting $58.
Yeah.
Flipping at this rate.
Who knows? Might as well
grade the 8.5s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's almost the few people I've talked about, the hotness, the red hotness of the market is
but is
making
it,
people feel uncomfortable.
But because it's not, is it sustainable?
Well, the thing is, this is what I immediately said no.
Yeah.
But then I go back, I hearken back.
And I know.
I've always said that about runs. Oh, this is it. You know, this is it.
And I remember you and I have had this conversation 10 years ago.
Yeah.
About even Spidey's back then.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Spidey 300, you know, it's so expensive right now. It's not going to stay that way.
It's $200. What kind of moron would pay $200 for that? Now it's $400.
Yeah.
And some idiot's buying it.
Easily $400.
Yeah. Like back then.
Back then.
I meant back then. Oh,
yeah.
It's $400.
Yeah,
Chris is 3,000 now.
I know,
right? So, but I guess what I'm questioning is, it's a runaway market. It seems like every single auction breaks a record from the last auction. The old established community doesn't trust it, and they think it's going to retract. And they're
right.
And they're probably right, but maybe they're... Like, I'm not going to come out here and say that this is all crazy.
Right.
Because that's the thing to say, and I've said it before, and I think the quickness of the rise is catching a lot of people off guard. It's catching the old guard, the participants that have been in it for a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades,
yep.
Like us.
Yeah.
It's catching us off guard to the point where we think it's time to sell right now.
Yeah.
But would that be a mistake?
Well, you know, the thing is with selling, and we talked about this last week, a few weeks ago, and the thing with selling is you never know when the right time to sell is because you don't know how you're going to sell it or why you're going to sell it. Like, you could sell it now, and you know, a year from now, it's going to be worth 10 times as much.
Mm-hmm.
But why did you? Like, I guess why are you selling it now? Then are you selling it because you think you got getting good money for it, or do you need the money? Right. So what's your reasoning for selling?
This is my take on collectibles in general from what I've learned over the decades.
Yeah,
I don't know if it will continue, but this is what I can say that I've learned up till now. The hoarders won.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In a way. My advice would be to sell if you desperately need the money.
Right.
Not to sell if you think you're going to cash in because people are overpaying.
Right.
I mean, that's a macro thing that could be wrong, but generally speaking, people that thought, okay, it's plateaued, it's at its peak, I'm going to sell.
Right.
They've always, up until today, every single one of those people have been wrong.
Right.
Now, that's not true. There may be specific issues that have waned, you know, let's say, I don't know, like a Walking Dead or something.
Sure.
The thing went off TV and maybe, you know, maybe 6 years ago it was $3,000, now it's $2,000. I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there might be, I'm just talking about like the swell, the groundswell.
Right.
I'm talking about the vast majority of the collectibles. If whoever in the last 30 years has picked a time to sell, to cash in, but they didn't need the money, but they just wanted to cash in, they've all made mistakes.
They've all lost.
Every single one of them made the wrong call.
Yeah, I agree. Right? I totally agree.
So, I don't know now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're selling, you know, I mean, because I mean, I've bought and sold a couple times, uh-huh. and both times I needed the money.
Right, okay. Right. That's, you know, a good reason.
I needed it. I used it for investment purposes, right. And you know, it was the right
time to help me buy a house,
put the down payment on a house.
Help me get married.
Yeah. So
ever tell you that old Serbian proverb?
No, what's that?
Where you got to remember, Serbia is kind of patriarchal,
right? Right.
Society, but where the kid goes, Dad, how much does it cost to get married? And the dad goes, I don't know, kid, I'm still paying.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I don't plan on selling anytime soon, but it's funny you should say, because I was at a buddy's house a while ago, and we had the same conversation. Like, I said, what are you going to do with your collection? And he just flat out said, I don't know, if depends on, like, if I die first, my wife will just get everything. I'm not selling it.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. That's a good
approach. Like, he just says, well, you know.
Because he doesn't need the money.
He doesn't need the money. Right. He said his son's going to inherit mm-hmm. everything, and he can mm-hmm. deal with it.
Yeah.
Right?
I recently sold some of my better books because my wife and I went into a real estate deal.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I've had these books for a long time, and and, you know, like, as soon as you sell them, I regret them.
I know.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, when am I ever going to get that back, right?
But, yeah.
You know, you do it. We didn't have the money to yep. close the deal. And, you know, as a family, we decided that's what we were going to do. So
yep.
my PC, the personal collection, had to suffer
yep.
in order to make that go forward, which is fine. Like, I don't begrudge the move, but I do miss the book.
Sure.
Right?
You know what I mean? Well, and to be honest, you're investing in something else.
Right, you are, but so, still. You know, you miss the comic.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and those comics have done better than good since I've sold them.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I'm sure we did okay on the real estate thing, but we were probably just as good or better with the accumulation in value of those.
Right, damn, right.
Early books, but
okay. So when it comes to selling, I just want to talk about this for 1 second.
Yeah.
When do you grade a book? At what point do you grade a book? I'm not talking about obviously if you really like the book and you want to hang it on your wall,
yeah,
you can get it graded.
Yeah.
But at what is there a certain value point you feel like you should be grading?
No, I mean, if you're selling, then it has to be a value that's going to be, the selling point's going to be above your cost of grading, obviously.
Right.
Right? You know, but grading does make it more liquid.
Right.
Right? So what I'm discovering with this warehouse find that I have
yep.
is I can't read GPA. I have to read tea leaves. I swear, Chris, I have to go, hey, see this book right here? Yeah, this book right here. There's only 11 9.8s, and that's only because nobody wants it. And
yeah.
They're selling for $52 at 9.8.
Right.
Now,
right.
The cost of pressing, grading, shipping there and back might be $60.
Right. Right? Right.
But those are the books that seem, when they ignite,
yeah,
they go to $1,200.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to kind of play that game. Because if you're like trying to react, and especially with all the grading companies, Chris, because the market is so hot, I'll tell you what's happening because the market is so hot. You know, cards, you know, like yeah. Sports cards.
Yeah.
You know those little thin sleeves.
Yeah,
the
plastic, yeah.
Clear where you can
yeah.
see the front and the back.
Yeah.
But not the rigid ones.
The thin ones.
Thin ones.
The thin ones you can actually put in the rigid
yeah,
ones.
Yeah. The penny sleeves.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They're like 4 months backlog.
Are they really?
Just to get supply.
Really?
Because every guy and his girl and girl and her guy are getting their stuff graded and
yeah,
their supplies.
Yeah.
And all these PSA grading company for cards, CGC grading company for comics.
AFA.
They're all backed up 8-9 months now.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
ridiculous. Yeah. And my point is if something blows up and you got nice copies.
Yep.
Well, by the time you get yours back, first to market on stuff like that always wins because
sure.
if you just happened to have a 9.8 lying around
right.
and the thing blows up, well, then you're getting that $1,000. But
if you're sending it down,
you're sending it down with literally 200 other
yeah.
guys sending their
yeah.
stuff down. When it comes back, oh, you still might do great. You still might, it might be $250 at right. the time, which is still better than the $50.
Right.
So you shouldn't begrudge.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to miss out on that opportunity.
Sure, sure, so, sure.
Yeah, I still think, Chris, that the whole collectibles market is hotter than hot. It's making the old timers feel uncomfortable.
Do you think the age of the toy as a collectibility, as a collectible commodity, has anything to do with how it's become a collectible? So I guess what I'm trying to say is, so sports cards have been around since the 1800s.
Right.
Comic books have been around since the
1930s. Yeah, in this format.
Toys, yeah. Like collectible toys, and sure, there's tin toys,
there's
the odd space toy or something.
60s or 70s?
I think. 70s, I mean, yeah. Really, I mean, yeah. Sure.
Star Wars. The Mego.
Yeah, that was sort of 60s Barbie, G.I. Joe, the big G.I. Joe.
But really en masse, late
70s. En masse, you know, Star Wars and beyond basically mm-hmm. helped to take that on. And so I think now that, you know, okay, so Star Wars came out in 1977.
Right.
So you're talking about, you know, what's that, like 43 years later?
I think it may have mattered, Chris, 20 years ago, but much like when you and I were young, DC was ancient.
Right.
1940.
Right.
43. Because this was 1980.
Yeah.
So that was like, and the Marvel was 17 years old, and the DC first appearances were 41 years old.
Right, right.
So it's like, it's two different things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah.
Now, for a young guy, they're both ancient.
Oh, they're both old, yeah.
Yeah. One's 88 years ago, one's 60 years ago. What's the difference?
But my point is, people didn't recognize toys as a collectible commodity
right.
until recently.
Right, because but my point is...
Yeah.
You're right. But my point is there's enough age now going through the system where we're talking now toys are going to start to hit 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, so the participants like you and me,
yeah.
we have a resistance to toy being that much because they're all in our era.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But now we're moving into a generation where these toys are granddads.
Absolutely.
Not dads.
No, granddads.
Granddads.
Absolutely.
Stuff,
right? Absolutely.
And that's where I think the disconnect that's needed. You need a disconnect.
Yeah.
The disconnect that's needed, because if you're of a peer group of that generation, it's kind of like, I mean, not that it's the same thing, Chris, but, you know, contemporaries of the Picassos and the Renoirs and stuff like that, that's never going to be a $4 million piece for those people because it was contemporary. So that kind of, you needed a lot of people to be dead.
It needs to be distanced.
Yeah, need to be distanced in order for it to gain some sort of gravitas or whatever you want to call it. I think that is approaching for the toy.
Yeah, I agree. You
know, like all that 1977, that's now 44 years ago.
Sure.
So now you're starting to get that disconnect. Now you're starting to get, you know, my granddad collected some toys. You
know,
you never had that before.
No.
You never. This is like a new phenomenon of the last 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, people still live with their dad.
Yep.
You know, kids.
Yep.
But granddad is another thing. It's like a disconnect.
Yes.
And I think now toys are getting into that where you're removing the, you know what I mean.
So, I get it. Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah. We're saying the same thing. But yeah.
Interesting.
So, I don't know where it's going to go. I want to predict because you and I are, I mean, we're gurus, right? Aren't we gurus?
Sure. Let's call it that. Yeah.
We're gurus.
I think that it's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you what to begin as or how to begin collecting toys.
Right.
You know, I had.
I'm not talking about toys, though. I'm talking in general about collectibles.
But I'm just saying we were talking about the collectibility of toys.
Right.
And I couldn't. I just. So I mean, with comics, you could say, well, you buy the first appearances,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know what you buy for toys because I don't know. I mean, there are some limited appearances of some toys, but beyond like the plastic, the vinyl cape Jawa and that kind of stuff, I don't know how that goes on further. Like, I don't know how collectible those other ones are.
Right.
Like, is a wrestler, is a Hulk Hogan in the package and the LJ toys, is that more expensive than an Andre the Giant? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Right?
Know
and is that the one that's the most expensive? Or is it the George the Animal Steel because that was a lower Front run. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you were telling me, or somebody was telling me, in the toy lines for the Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's not the Vader or the Luke. It's those characters that had really limited. There's like some sort of robot or something in the old 1977 toy line that had the least print run, and that thing is worth tons and tons of money.
Oh, well, there's a couple like that.
Yeah, like what I'm saying, but they're not like Leia.
No. You know? No.
They're not R2-D2.
Well, I mean, but there's a few, like, there were, what do you call it, like, the prototypes.
Right.
But they're, like, they're few and far between. Like, there's a blue Snaggletooth, I'll call it.
Uh-huh.
But, like, that, something like
is that.
Is that
Heaven to Rick? Yeah.
But something like that, I think there's, like, five in existence.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, you know.
Okay. So, I don't know what I'm talking about, others. But this is what I think is going to happen. I think kind of the proverbial cat is out of the bag again. Like it's always been,
yeah.
But to the next level, so it's spilled over. It was contained, you know, initially to a very niche group, and that spilled out into a broader group,
right?
And I think, and then that's been contained for a couple of decades, and I think what's happening now is it's spilling out into, honestly, the general population. So I think this is the way I see it. I see a lot of mistakes being made by the new participants.
Right.
A lot of mistakes being made. So a lot of people are going to get spanked with poor investment choices.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think a lot of people are going to do okay. And I think a lot more people are going to remain in collectibles than were in collectibles 10 years ago.
Right, I agree.
Which will prop up demand, maybe perhaps not to the run-up prices that some are getting right now, again, because people are just rushing. It's like a gold rush.
Yeah.
So, and that's where the mistakes are made. Whenever there's a gold rush, mistakes are made. People become overzealous and stuff like that.
Well, remember the speculator market of the 90s?
Right.
Everybody just bought up everything.
Right.
And it falsely propped up the industry.
Right. But When things kind of pull back again, I think people will make poor decisions right now. But I think overall the movement is still forward.
I agree.
I do.
I agree.
I don't think this is just some crazy, crazy, unsustainable bubble.
No.
I think this is a bubble that's being pushed a little too strongly and too hard. And there are some things that people will regret buying. But I think they're going to be dwarfed by things that people
are interested in.
Are that will retain value.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. Like I said, I've bet against comics before and I've lost.
Yeah,
but not
too.
Just comics, collectibles.
Yeah,
And you know, I think that eventually and I think you and I are going to talk about this at the next show. We got to broach the subject of virtual collectibles.
Yeah. Next show.
Yeah,
next
so show. That's about buying something that really doesn't exist.
Yeah,
but the scarcity is because somebody told you.
Yeah,
it's that. So yeah. Anyway, all right, Chris. So you know, people freely go out, spend your money.
Let's know your thoughts on toy collecting.
Yeah, and toy and comic and just in general collecting.
Yeah, all right. And have yourself a great day.
See you next week.